Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rophi, my healer. Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Jehovah Makadesh, my sanctifier. I don't know what name of God you need to be calling this morning, but for whatever you need, there's a name above all names that you can call. Amen. The name of God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. I want to start this morning by wishing the fathers a happy Father's Day today. Give them a hand. I want to wish the mothers happy Father's Day today. Amen. We couldn't be fathers without you. Amen. I don't know why they got more applause than the fathers, but they did. But today is a day that we should also celebrate our Heavenly Father. And there is no one day. It should be every day that we celebrate our Heavenly Father. Amen. And we realize that those of us that have taken on the responsibility of truly being a father, we realize that there's so many demands that life puts on us. Amen. And every demand and everything that life puts on us, we have to, we say that we're men. We got to deal with it. We're required to deal with it. Amen. And to understand to be a father, to be a parent, that the same person that you was yesterday, you cannot be that same person today. You cannot be that same person today. As my relationship with my wife evolves, I'm not the same person that I was yesterday. Amen? As my relationship with my children evolved, it's not the same relationship that I had with them yesterday. It's not the same that I had with them years ago. Amen? Things change. Amen? We are supposed to change. If you think about maybe a childhood friend that you had and maybe you haven't seen them in a while, when you run into them, you can't expect them to be the same old person that they used to be. More than likely, something in their life has changed them, the experiences that they have gone through. And if you are not changing, then you're not evolving as a human. And that's why we can't become passive. We cannot become passive to anything that happens in our lives. We can't become passive to things that are coming up in the future. When you have a mindset that says whatever be will be, you've already accepted something that you have no idea about. Amen? We cannot have the mindset that whatever will be an option. We must be intentional about the people that we want to become. Amen? Somebody who's not a quote-unquote great dad or father today, you can change that. Amen? People will tell you that you are going to be that same old person, but with the God that we serve, all things are possible. Amen? So on this day, the question is, what must you be? Amen? The topic today, I must be. So the scripture that we have today comes from Luke, the second chapter, and it is from verse 39 to 50. So I'm going to ask you all to stand while I read the word this morning. The scripture said, And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went on a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that they heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. I just want to read verse 49 again. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus was 12 years old, his mother and father took him to the feast at Jerusalem. This feast was a national vacation. It was a vacation that families saved as much as they could during the year, and they looked forward to going to this feast. Small little towns like Nazareth were emptied of all of their kinfolks, all of their inhabitants, except for the older folk who would hang around and take care of the younger ones who couldn't travel. In those days, they traveled in caravans and relatives, and the whole village often traveled together, and they kept their eye on each other's children. As they went, the crowds were always cheerful. It was always a joyful thing. Amen? So when we think back over our own lives and we think about family vacations and we think about families traveling together, it was always full of fun, always full of joy. Amen? It was a crowd of people, and it was not surprising that a boy, 12-year-old, would be lost. Amen? How many times have you gone on a vacation with family members or with a lot of people, and there's that one person who would always get missing? Amen? Jesus was that one person this time that was missing. Now, some folk might think that Joseph and Mary were not good parents because they lost their child. But they were in the midst of family and friends and neighbors. But when Mary started to look for Jesus and couldn't find him, at first they were calm. They said, oh, everything's going to be all right. He's probably with so forth and so on. He's probably with this one or that one. Oh, he's with my sister or he's with my brother. He's with the neighbor that lives two houses over. They took it calm. But as they began to question and ask people, have you seen Jesus? And they didn't come up with Jesus, they got a little worried. After traveling for a day and they realized that he was not around, they went back to Jerusalem, which took another day. And then in Jerusalem, they spent another day looking for him. When they asked around, some people remembered that maybe I remembered seeing Jesus over by the temple. But nobody had seen him since. Now, this is a mother, Mother Mary. You can only imagine as a mother how you must feel how when you lost your son, when you lost your child, when it is your first child, how you lost them and you can't find them. Mary grew frightened. She wondered little things like, where could Jesus be? Is he hungry? Where did he sleep last night? I wonder if Jesus is all right. Amen? And you know, in situations like that, sometimes as men, we can only be of support. Because you can tell the mother whatever you want to tell her, but she's going to think what she wants to think. Amen? So Joseph was there, and he was there for support. When Mary and Joseph went into the temple, they found him. They looked around, and the scripture says, and there he was. They found him after 3 days in the temple. What was Jesus doing 3 days in the temple? Here's a boy, 12 years old. He was with the teachers, and he was listening. He was asking questions. And you know, Jesus was very nonchalant about it. I don't know if you ever lost your child or you misplaced somebody else's child. And you look for them, you look for them, and then when you find them, they don't have a care in the world. They're wondering what you're so upset about. Amen? Jesus wanted to know what Mary was so upset about. Jesus was not upset at all. So you know when you lose somebody, I don't know if you've ever been lost or your mother had to pull you out of somewhere, or your father, your parent, or whatever. She's hurrying along to go get Jesus because she found him. But as they walked in the temple, they realized that they were in the temple. So Joseph and Mary were common folk. In the temple, as I said, the scripture says, were doctors, people that knew the scripture. The temple was a holy place. You couldn't just walk in there. But her emotions overtook her. So she walked in there, and then she stopped. Amen? Realizing this is holy ground. I'm not supposed to just walk in here. But then her emotions took over again. Amen? Because sometimes your emotions will take over the second time, and you realize you don't even care where you're at. You don't care who's looking. You don't care what they say to you. Amen? So the Bible doesn't say that the doctors of the law said anything. It doesn't say that the people around said anything. But she walked up and she asked Jesus, don't you understand that for the last 3 days, your father and I, we've been looking for you. Amen? Your father and I have been looking for you. Have you no compassion for us? And Jesus turns around and says, you looking for me? Whist. He used that word, whist. You understand that I must be about my father's business. Now, that word, whist, it means that you know something. Amen? He is saying to his mother, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Now, Joseph is standing right there. But Joseph already know that I'm not his biological father. Amen? Mary already know that she is the mother of Jesus, but it was through a miracle that he came to exist in her belly. Amen? But see, emotions again, they forgot all of that. The emotions overtook what they knew about their son. Amen? This wasn't a question when Mary asked, do you know that your father and I have been searching for you? The way that she asked it, she demanded an answer. Don't forget, this is Jesus Christ, Son of God, come down in human form. She demanded an answer. Have your mother ever demanded an answer from you? She asked a question, but the question, you better answer my question. Amen? Mary said, don't you know that we've been looking for you? Now, Jesus, growing up in Nazareth, he already knew, amen, that he was from a place that people had no respect for. Amen? He was in a place that people looked at him like, there's that boy Jesus again. You know, there's a lot of questions about that young man. But everywhere that Jesus went, he took questions. He asked questions. He made statements that people didn't quite understand. But what I want you to understand what happened next is Jesus asked them that question to put them into check so they realized who they were talking to and what his real business was. But Jesus, this is what he did. He also got put in check also. Amen? If we are to follow Jesus, we have to understand the storyline, how he got put into check, and he then turned around and checked himself. Amen? Because in that day, there was nothing more natural than a son taking up his father's business. Joseph was a carpenter. Jesus eventually did follow in Joseph's footsteps and became a carpenter. His words here show that he was beginning, but when Jesus said, "Wist you understand that I must be about my Father's business," it was the first time in Scripture that you heard Jesus talk about him understanding what his business was, what his process, what his goal to be on this earth was all about. Jesus turned around and understood that now I'm a human and I have to be a son to Joseph. So irregardless of me being God the Father, irregardless of him being Jesus the Son of God, irrespective of him being Jesus the Son of Man, he realized that he must fulfill his obligations as a human son. Does that make sense? In order for Jesus to understand everything that we go through, every experience that he goes through as a human has to be experienced. Amen? So he had to fulfill his responsibility as the oldest son. And at some point in time, Joseph disappeared from the scene. And then Jesus had to become the man of the family. Amen? So he had to work his trade as a carpenter. He had to support his family. Amen? He still had to show them that he loved God, and he still had to prove himself in being faithful over the small things. Amen? God did not allow Jesus to just jump to the big things. He had to show himself faithful over the small things. Amen? Although it's impossible to say when this imposed, because you know Jesus self-imposed these limitations on himself. Amen? But when he began to understand what he came here for, his purpose, he had to always keep his mind on what he had to do, his father's business. The scripture says they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. So here's a boy, 12 years old, when he spoke those words, they did not quite understand. But see, in the Jewish custom, at 12 years old, it is about that time that the young men start working and going towards working with the father in their business. But Jesus knew who he was, so therefore he was starting to work in the temple with his father's business before he was working in the earthly business of his father. Amen? But when you read further down, the scripture says that he went back with them, and then for the next 18 years, come on, somebody. See, we always want to jump into things But God is even using Jesus to show that it takes time to get wisdom and discernment in all that you do. He didn't just jump out at 12 years old being Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. There were some things he had to learn, experiences he had to go through. See, God the Father had to show God the Son. Come on, somebody. This is Father's Day. God the Father had to show God the Son, you must go through some trials and tribulations. You got to really gain that human experience in order for you to be effective in your ministry. Too many times, people don't understand that in ministry, experience is needed. Amen? He said, I must be about my Father's business. Amen? 12 years old, Jesus was able to comprehend the heart of God. But what does that mean? What is all of this about? It's all about, number one, Jesus. This is showing us some lessons about Jesus and our Father's business. Amen? Jesus said, "Whist, I know I'm going to do my Father's business. I must be about it." He already knew he was secure in his Father. He was secure in his Father when he was talking about his heavenly Father, God, because he know who his Father really is. We're singing the song, "He knows my name. He knows my name." But do you know his name? You see, Jesus knows his identity. He knows he's not just the son of Joseph and Mary, but the Son of God. I want to ask you this morning, do you know your identity? Not your identity with your friends, not your identity with me, not your identity with the people around right now, but your identity with God, your heavenly Father. He knows your name. Do you know that he is the one that loves you? He's the one that made you. He's the one that has the plan for you on this earth. Amen? Do you know your Father in heaven? The reason why so many people are drifting in life is because they don't know who their Father is. Because your earthly Father might not be there. You drift. But if you understand who your heavenly Father is, and that no matter what you go through, that he has a plan for your life, a plan to make you prosperous, a plan for you to live, a plan to give you blessings upon blessings. If you understand that you are a precious creation, amen, and that you need to reconcile with him because he never left you. You left him. Amen? You must put your trust in him as your Savior. The Bible said, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. You know, there's so many people that feel like nobody loves them. There's so many people that feel like they don't belong to anything, anybody, or nothing. Amen? And that's just the way the enemy wants you to feel. Because when he isolates you like that, then he can conquer your heart, your spirit, your soul, your mind. But when you come to Christ and you accept him and believe in his name, he gave you the right to be called a child of God. Everybody wants a sense of belonging to something. Everybody wants to belong to someone. Amen? God has given you that right. In Galatians 3 and 26, it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When you know that you are his child, you know that you are deeply loved. When you know that you are his child, you know that he has a place for you. Sometimes people don't think that they have a place to go. But he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? Know that you have a special place in his heart. Amen? When he knows your name. Not only do he know your name, but he knows every hair. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says he knows every hair that's on your head. I can't tell you the hairs on my head. Sometimes I think I got hair someplace and I might be bald. I went to the barber. I said, you cut too far. He says, no, I didn't. There's nothing there. Jesus wasn't afraid when he was in that temple or around the temple for those 3 days without Mary and Joseph. He was in his father's house. Don't you know that as a child of God, when you're in the house of God, that you're never alone? There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. Amen? He knows that God was still watching over him. Mary was nervous. Joseph was nervous. They was upset. But Jesus was in the comfort of knowing that he was in his father's place. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting that right now, but I want you to know this morning that when you are in your father's place, or you're in your father's place this morning, when you're in your father's place, there's nothing to fear. Amen? Nothing to be afraid of. Hallelujah. The other thing that we should learn from these scriptures today is that God don't just know your name, but he knows your heart. Hallelujah. You have a special place in his heart, but does he have a special place in your heart? Amen? Jesus knew that. He says, I must go about doing my father's business. Amen? He had a special place in his heart for God. Amen? He said, I had to be. I must be. There's a sense of urgency there. There's a sense of understanding what his mission is. Those are strong words that he used. It was like, I ought to be doing this. Amen? Mary, you know where I come from. You know I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be in the temple. Joseph, you know that. There are times in your life that God has given you a responsibility. He has given you something to do, and you know that you ought to be doing your father's business, but because other people are telling you what you should be doing, you're being manipulated by the devil. And he's using other people to do it. You should be in church. You're going to go to church today? It's Father's Day. You're going to go to church today? Oh, it's raining outside. You going to church? You going to church to worship today? There's snow on the ground. But let me tell you something. When it comes time to go to work, that same person who telling you to stay home, they're kicking you out to get the money. You better go get that money. You better go to work. You don't have another sick day. You don't have a vacation day. You better go. Bills got to be paid. Jesus had a special place for God in his heart. The Bible doesn't tell us how he managed. It doesn't tell us how he ate or how he stayed. Amen? I just need to stop right there because I keep saying Jesus does not tell us to do anything that he didn't do. Amen? Because in later scriptures in his ministry, he says when you go out, don't worry about what you will eat. Don't take nothing with you. Don't worry about where you'll stay. Because he knew that when you were in that special place with your father, business will be taken care of. He'll handle all of that for you. He said the birds of the air, they don't worry about their next meal. Why should you? He didn't tell us to do anything that he didn't do. This is proof right here. He went 3 days. It didn't say where he got his stuff from. Amen? Hallelujah. But we know that Jesus had that special place. Amen? And it says that he wasn't just listening, but he was asking questions. In verse 47, it says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. It says he must have some knowledge of Scripture. Surely this 12-year-old, he must understand the Scriptures. But here, we know that, you see, here's another thing. The Bible tells us that when we speak to somebody, when the Lord tells us to witness to somebody, don't worry what you will say, because the Holy Spirit will put into your system the words to say to witness to that particular individual or that situation. Amen? But when we rely upon our own intellect, we start sounding like fools, and the devil will dissect each and everything that we say, because the devil knows Scripture. But when you rely on the Holy Spirit, he will tell you the words to use and what to say. Because you'll say a word and you might mean well, but you triggered something else on. Hallelujah. Just because you said the wrong word. Hallelujah. Jesus showed that he had a desire to know the Scriptures, and he had a desire to know the purposes of God for his life. His desire to do that was so strong that he was willing to stay behind all by himself. Are you willing to stay behind sometimes all by yourself to learn Scripture, to read the Bible, to understand something that you need to know? Maybe you got an assignment going to happen tomorrow, and the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, read me. Search the Scriptures. I got something to say to you. Because you don't know about tomorrow, but God already knows about tomorrow. The tests, the trials, the tribulations. And he's saying, read me. But you decide to go on and do what everybody else wants you to do. Amen? Is your desire so strong to stay behind all by yourself? Amen? What drives you? What motivates you in life? Jesus motivated. I must do the will of him that sent me. Amen? We are driven by something, like it or not. I don't know what drives you. But I know as a young man, I was driven to make sure that I took care of my family. Amen. I was used to 17, 18-hour days, 19-hour days. I work, and then I go do more work. Many times, I did not get home until 12, 1 o'clock at night and got up at 5 the next morning to go to work. That's because I was driven. I was driven to supply what I needed for my family, because there was a division going on there. I had one in college and the other one's in middle school, in elementary school. I had to supply for the college one while I was doing for the middle schoolers. Amen? It's a lot of money that I didn't have, but I was driven to do that. Amen? First Lady was driven to do that. One of the greatest things she ever said to somebody, she was going to school to get her degree. And I'm encouraging somebody right now to go get your degree. But she was going to school to get the degree, and somebody said to her, oh, by the time you finish, you're going to be 40. She said, well, I'm going to be 40 anyway. Whatever God has designated you to do, don't stop because somebody's telling you about your age or what you can and can't do. With God, all things are possible. I must be about my Father's business. If he told you to do it, he will provide for you. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Jesus urges us to seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen? What are you seeking first? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Everything that you see right now, it's going to be gone. It's going away. The pulpit, this building, me, the person sitting next to you, the clothes you got on, your money, everything is temporary. Jesus, at 12 years old, was already focusing his eyes on that which is unseen, his Father in heaven. He already knew that which is eternal. When he grew up knowing and being focused on what he had to do. Amen? In Matthew, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there's will be your heart also. Amen? There's going to be no thieves up there. They'll be reformed. They won't be thieves no more. They might be thieves here. But by the time they die and they go up there, there won't be no stealing going on. Amen? On the cross, in between two thieves, Jesus granted one the power, the pardon to be with him in heaven, in paradise. Amen? The next thing these scriptures are saying, know your Father's business. Hallelujah. You can't be no novice in your Father's business. Amen? Know your Father's business. That's why they take you on as an apprentice to show you things. And it takes years. You don't become a master carpenter in a week, in a year, or 2 years. It takes time. You're not a master plumber in a couple of years. It takes time. Amen. You're not a master at anything in any amount of time. It takes time. Amen. That's why it took Jesus from the age of 12 to 30 to start his ministry. Because he had to be perfected. Amen? So look, what happened in 18 years? Well, undoubtedly, in the 18 years, let me tell you what Jesus must have saw. He must have saw the same things that we see in our everyday lives. He saw his mother and father not agreeing on everything. He saw jealousy between his brothers, his sister. You know, the family things that goes on in the family. You know the things that go in the family? Can I get amen? Every family different. Whose family don't have nothing going on in their family? Raise your hand. Because if you don't, I want to be part of that family. Jesus had to experience the family things for 18 years. Amen. Jesus had to go into business and people had to try to take advantage of him in business. Maybe he did some work for them that maybe cost 30 shekels and maybe they wanted to give him 12. Maybe they ran out on him and didn't pay him at all. Amen. Because he was in business. He was a carpenter. Amen. Maybe he did some great work, but somebody said, you don't do that greater work, Jesus, you know, because this ain't worth all that money that you asking me for. He had people put him down. He had his own brothers and sisters put him down. He had them not believe in him. Amen. He had them thinking, he's nuts, so. Some of your family members think you are nutso because you come to church and you serve the Lord. That you on your own planet, on your own plane. Jesus went through that too. Jesus went through disagreements with his mother, disagreements with his father. Amen? Jesus went through that. When Jesus walked down, he knew people were talking about him. You know, that's that little boy, ain't nobody know how he got here. Talk about his mother. You know, that they say that Joseph was his father, but you know what, you know. Maybe he didn't have the best clothes, you know. People talked about his sandals. Maybe his sandals were too small and his feet were sticking out of them. You know, sometimes you get things and they just not quite right. And people talked about him. You know the things that people do to you when you're growing up that make a lasting impression, upon you? Because some of us right now are dealing with some stuff that people said to us and did to us as kids that have a lasting impression still to this day. You got to let it go. Because none of that affected Jesus, because he kept focused on, I must be about my Father's business. So when you start understanding and you get to the point that you're going to be about your Father's business, all of that other stuff way back when don't matter no more. You understand? But if you are not in your Father's business, you hold on to those negative things. Amen? Oh, you too short. You too dark. You too light. Your hair's too short. Oh, you wear glasses. Come on. Oh, you from that family down the block? Oh, you got your brother's shoes on? Whatever it is. All of those things, those negative things, you still hold on to it until you start being about your Father's business. Because those are resentments that you're holding on to. And I bet you that everybody in here at some point in their life had some resentment against somebody, something, or someone that you held on to for a long time until you got mature enough to let it roll off your back because it don't make a difference. That little sticks and stones might break my bones, but names will never harm me. It's a lie. I used to be called black. I thought I was black as this. And it took me till I got an adult to realize I wasn't that black. But I was called that. And it had an effect upon me. Amen. You have to know and be concerned about the Father's business. You have to be concerned about his work. Jesus' desire was to know what his Father's business was and invest his life in it. When you learn what your Father's business is for you, you will invest your life in it. And if you don't put in the investment, you won't get the reward. You wonder why somebody else is getting rewarded because they invested. You wonder why you're not getting rewarded? Because you did not invest. Amen? Do you know your life's purpose today? This is Father's Day. I must be about my Father's business. Life will be incomplete and meaningless if we don't know God's plan for our lives. Amen? The Bible says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. By him and for him. Don't just think that, you know, all things were created by God. But it was created by him and for him. You were created by him and for him. When we sing the song, we were created, made to worship you. You were created by him and for him. So when the praise and worship is going on and people are sitting there, I wonder if they understand that you were created by him and for him to worship him. Amen? We are called to know him and to serve him. And as a child of the Father, do you know what his plan for your life is today? Do you know the business that the Father has given you on earth? Do you know what the business of your Heavenly Father is for you? Do you know who you are to him and what he expects from you? I must be about my Father's business. The must here is a must of it's inevitable. If when he says you must, you better do it. It's inevitable. By hook or by crook, you're going to get it done. Don't be Jonas. You can run, but he'll put you in a situation where he's going to have you, and you're going to have to, the only thing that you can do is rely on him. Amen? The must is a priority of your life. Jesus must, because he knew who he was. And when God gives you a must, there's no external pressure. You know, he ain't going to keep pounding on you. He tells you in that small voice what you should do, and it's up to you to do it. Amen? The Bible tells us the Father is patient with us. He is patient with you, not wanting to anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Hallelujah. So here's a conclusion right now. There's a lesson. There's a lesson for each and every one of us in here today. Amen. God has a purpose for your life. God has designated you to do something with responsibility. Every father, every mother, every parent, every grandmother, grandfather that's in here today, under the sound of my voice, God has given you a big responsibility. Just for the mere fact that your name has mother or father associated with it. Amen? Because the Bible tells me who is the greatest in the kingdom. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? The children. The children. Amen? The children are the greatest in the kingdom. And over time, it is our responsibility to show them what the Father's business is all about. Amen. It says, train up a child when he is young. When they get old, they shall not depart. Amen. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand right now. Some of us know that because we were trained when we were young, even though we departed, we came back. Even though we was out there doing things, he still watched over us. Amen. The prayers of the righteous avail much. Amen. So your children and your children's children and your children's 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 will be blessed because you did your Father's business. Let us stand this morning.